Now there was a Pharisee, a man named Nicodemus, who was a member of the Jewish ruling council. He came to Jesus at night and said, "Rabbi, we know that you're a teacher who has come from God, for no one could perform the signs you're doing if God were not with him." Jesus replied, "Very truly I tell you, no one can see the kingdom of God unless they are born again." "How can someone be born when they are old?" Nicodemus asked. "Surely they cannot enter a second time into their mother's womb to be born." Jesus answered, "Very truly I tell you, no one can enter the kingdom of God unless they are born of water and the Spirit. Flesh gives birth to flesh, but the Spirit gives birth to spirit. You should not be surprised at my sayings. You must be born again. The wind blows wherever it pleases. You hear its sound, but you cannot tell where it comes from or where it's going. So it is with everyone born of the Spirit." "How can this be?" Nicodemus asked. "You are Israel's teacher," said Jesus, "and do you not understand these things? Very truly I tell you, we speak of what we know and we testify of what we have seen. But still, you people do not accept our testimony. I have spoken to you of earthly things and you do not believe. How then will you believe if I speak of heavenly things? No one has ever gone into heaven except the one who came from heaven, the Son of Man. Just as Moses lifted up the snake in the wilderness, so the Son of Man must be lifted up, that everyone who believes may have eternal life in him." For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him. Whoever believes in him is not condemned, but whoever does not believe stands condemned already, because they have not believed in the name of God's one and only Son. This is the verdict. Light has come into the world, but people loved darkness instead of light, because their deeds were evil. Everyone who does evil hates the light and will not come into the light for the fear that their deeds will be exposed. But whoever lives by the truth comes into the light, so that it may be seen plainly that what they have done has been done in the sight of God. After this, Jesus and his disciples went out into the Judean countryside, where he spent some time with them and baptized. Now John also was baptizing at Enon near Salim, because there were plenty of water and people were coming and being baptized. This was before John was put in prison. An argument developed between some of John's disciples and a certain Jew over the matter of ceremonial washing. They came to John and said to him, "Rabbi, that man who was with you on the other side of Jordan, the one you testified about, look, he's baptizing and everyone is going to him." To this, John replied, "A man can receive only what is given them from heaven. You yourselves can testify that I said, I am not the Messiah, but I am sent ahead of him. The bride belongs to the bridegroom. The friend who attends the bridegroom waits and listens to him and is full of joy when he hears the bridegroom's voice. That joy is mine, and it is now complete. He must become greater, I must become less. The one who comes from above is above all. The one who is from the earth belongs to the earth and speaks as one from the earth. The one who comes from heaven is above all. He testifies to what he has seen and heard, and no one accepts his testimony. Whoever has accepted it has certified that God is truthful. For the one whom God has sent speaks the word of God, for God gives the Spirit without limits. The Father loves the Son and has placed everything in his hands. Whoever believes in the Son has eternal life, but whoever rejects the Son will not see life, for God's wrath remains on them." The most important encounter you would ever have is with the Word of God. Join me as I continue to read the book of John from the NIV version of the Bible, right here on the Encounter series with me, Osaru Alile.
All
Okay, so I'm just going to give a couple of comments that I picked up from this John chapter 3. I love how in the beginning it actually literally started with a question. Nicodemus, who obviously had been following God for so long, Jesus had just come and he knew that Jesus was from God, but he had questions and he was a bit confused. And I think there's a beauty in asking questions, you know, and I love the fact that he did ask. And the way Jesus described, Jesus responded to him because he was confused. Jesus responded. And the way he described being born again is so instructive. He said it twice. No one can enter into the kingdom of God except they're born again. And in chapter between 5 and 8, he was saying, except a man is born again of water and of spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. You know, if and something that I did notice that everything Jesus says is true, completely true. But when he repeats the same thing twice, you know that he's trying to drill something into our minds. He said it. Believe in him. You know, he said, no man can enter into the kingdom of God except he's born again. He's not just saying, it is the truth. Christ Jesus came onto this world to be able to change our minds about the kingdom of heaven. And to enter, we must be born of water and of spirit. We must first accept him, be born of water, which is just making a very clear and open declaration that, yes, I've accepted Christ. And then the Spirit comes upon us and it comes into us. And that's the second level of being born again. And then he talked about from verse 3, John 3:16, which is like literally, I call it one of the most glorious memory verses. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have everlasting life. That's one of the memory verses that I think I've known since I was a little child. And over time, it becomes clearer and clearer and clearer to me what it means. God gave his only begotten son, Jesus Christ, you know, the one true son that he has, the one who was also in him, of him, and him. And the truth is, once we believe in Jesus Christ, that we believe that he exists, we believe that he is truly the Son of God, we shall not perish but have eternal life. And again, he repeated it twice in verse 16 and also verse 15. He says, believe in him, have everlasting life. Believe in him, have eternal life. It's like a very, very direct response to us believing. Once we believe, we've literally brought eternal life onto ourselves. We've brought everlasting life into ourselves. This is one I want to shout. I want to say, can somebody shout hallelujah? Hallelujah. It's truly why I love Jesus, honestly. He literally is our savior. He's not trying to make rules, you know, trying to do anything that makes it difficult for anybody to get to him. Just believe. Just believe. And then also in verse 17, he says, God sends his son not to condemn the world, the world through him might be saved. So he didn't come up to condemn us. He came to redeem us. So he's literally here to save us. Like, honestly, my eyes were just tearing up when I was reading that. I'm like, this guy didn't come to confuse us or to try to destroy us or anything. He literally came to save us. He's our savior. He's our deliverer. And as I was reading that, the Holy Spirit literally said to me, he says, that's the dying force, you know. When John was saying in verse 30 of the same chapter, it says, he must increase, but I must decrease. That part where, you know, the people will come, they always come, start trying to ask questions. They will say, oh, John, but I thought this, but I thought they were talking about how Jesus was baptizing. And John was so resolute about who he was. He was like, I know who I am and I know who Christ is. Please, I just accept that he's the one that God sent, you know. And that's dying force is, you know, that's the point where the Holy Spirit told me that is the dying force. Is once you believe, you die to yourself and you become alive in Christ. It's so key. It's actually incredible how that is truly what it means to be a Christian. Believing that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, dying to ourselves, dropping our old man, anything that we've known in the past, anything that we've believed in the past, dropping it, the dying force, and truly believing and allowing God to increase in us. So yeah, those are some of my comments from John chapter 3.